Okay, next one.
Yep. Yes, you're up.
Is it 20? The 20?
Yes.
Okay, so this is number 23111. Farrington.
Get me.
Can I make a statement?
Excuse me.
Attorney Drappin asked me to, he was, had an objection to some arrest records, I believe, correct?
I don't believe that there were actually any records submitted. There was a reference to it in the issuing authority's questionnaire.
Okay.
And my objection was to the recitation of that, but.
Okay. Well, I had not taken it out because I had already sent the packets to the board members.
Understood.
So you can discuss that.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
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 Okay, you may proceed.
Sergeant Michael Giordano with Farrington Police Department. Currently, the denial overall was based on the emergency committal of the appellant in 2018, where the appellant admitted to being suicidal and under the influence of alcohol and intentionally took pills in an attempt to harm himself.
Thank you. Brief opening statement?
I'll leave opening statement.
Okay, Sergeant, you may proceed.
We obtained documents from Waterbury Police Department where the appellant was residing, residing in the city of Waterbury when he got into an issue with his, at the time, girlfriend.
What city do you live in now?
Farrington. There was an argument. I don't believe it was any type of physical violence or anything like that, but it was a heated verbal argument during a breakup. And during that time, the appellant admitted that he intentionally ingested prescription medication while consuming alcohol. There's a couple different reports, whether it's from the attorney sent me medical records, what was told to emergency staff versus what was told to police department on scene. Anywhere between 4 to 8 alcoholic drinks were consumed at that time while ingesting. Again, there's dispute between the two different reports as to whether it was 4 Ambien pills or in excess up to 6 or 8 Ambien pills, along with gabapentin and another drug that I'm not sure of, with doxepin, at the time, a suicide attempt because of the breakup. The appellant was placed in protective custody by Waterbury PD and sent to the hospital for treatment.
Doxepin is a fairly sedating antidepressant drug, over drug.
Thank you for that. Again, I wasn't sure what that was. Like I said, it was Ambien, gabapentin, and doxepin mixed with alcohol.
And that's the basis for your...
That's the basis for the denial.
Okay. Want a cross-examination?
No, sir. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And board question?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sergeant, what was the date again on the EC?
4/25/18, sir.
Thank you. And was there, do you know if there was an arrest involved in that, or was it just
no,
an EC?
No, it was our terminology would be a nonviolent family offense.
Yep.
It was a verbal argument is during the breakup.
Understood.
I have a question for the sergeant.
Go ahead.
If I'm correct in my review of the records, and I don't know if you're going to speak to this, I saw mention of a protective order for family violence with a creation date of 3/3/21 and a termination date of 4/15/2021.
Yes, I believe the appellant was the protected party in that.
Okay.
I don't believe he was the subject of that. I believe he was the protected party in that.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, Attorney Drapp, I think.
That's correct, Doctor. Yes.
Thank you.
Sergeant, any other findings in terms of criminal activity or background?
The appellant admitted to there's a DUI conviction from 2013 from North Carolina.
Mr. Chairman, at this point, I will object to any information regarding that because the sole basis for the denial in the issuing authority's denial letter was the emergency committal in 2018. In addition to that, those records, it appears as though, are either sealed or destroyed at this point, as his criminal history revealed, no record, as we typically use that term, as far as anything that is reportable at this point.
The appellant listed it on his application.
Well, good for the appellant in listing that on his application.
So that conviction, it says on here, from the appellant's application, DWI, Jacksonville, North Carolina, 2013, guilty.
Sarge, I have two page threes in our packet.
Yes, and one is listed with blue writing, and one is...
Ours is just copy, so...
Oh, okay.
Did he provide two page threes, or were these page threes not correct?
He did provide two page threes, and it was explained to me that on one form, he listed the DWI.
Yep.
On the other form, he lists an incident in 2001, in 2002, and then in 2013, all mostly motor vehicle and a trespassing issue that he lists on those. So I have both.
Okay.
Page
All right, I just want to make sure they were, these are both from him. I just didn't want somebody copied something incorrectly.
No, these are both from the appellant. Records Division handed me both in the packet and said these were both submitted, one at one time and one at another time. I can't tell you why.
If you think it's important, if he listed the DUI on his application, you can certainly ask about it. You just can't talk about a criminal history or produce reports or anything like that.
Yeah, again, the only thing I'm going off is the appellant's application.
Well, that's your call, whether you're going to ask for the work.
Let me restate the question. I'll just change it. Post 2018, any run-ins with the appellant locally?
No, I don't believe so, no.
Okay.
Based on the testimony of the issuing authority, we're basing the reason for the denial as being the emergency committal and underlying conduct in 2018.
Correct.
Okay. So your objection is sustained. Okay. What's left then?
That's their turn.
Your turn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would call the appellant. And good morning, sir. Who's seated to your right?
It's my wife, Lori.
How long have you been married to her?
3 years.
And were you with her in a relationship for a period of time prior to getting married?
Yes.
And how long was that?
2 years.
Have any children?
Yes, I have three of my own, and I also have three stepchildren.
Good. And could you tell the board briefly what your education
High school graduate. I did attend, after the military, I did attend school for a little bit to become an electrician was my original plan in life. I ended up leaving school 2 months prior because I got hired at Waterbury Fire Department. And that's where I've been since. I went through the academy, got all my certifications that are needed to do the job. Education, that's...
Okay. And I'm going to come back to the fire department in a minute, but you also referenced the military.
Yes.
Did you serve in the military?
I did.
What branch?
United States Marine Corps.
How long were you in the Marines?
Total accumulated 8.5 years, roughly. I did 4 years active. I got out for about a year and a half, went back in for another 2 active. And then I got out and I did a non-obligated reserve time for roughly about 2 to 2.5 years. Not obligating, meaning I still had time left on my inactive contract to where I could basically go come and go as you please. So I went back in on a reserve component here in Connecticut, well, in Massachusetts, but living here in Connecticut. I did that for a little bit and ultimately ended up getting out of my equipment.
What was the nature of your discharge?
Honorable.
And during your time in the Corps, did you have occasion to be deployed?
Yes, I deployed to Afghanistan, Kabul, Afghanistan, in 2004, February 2004. Guarded the embassy there during the reconstruction phase of the new embassy. Came home, August, I believe it was, August of 2004, that I redeployed again in 2005 to Iraq, combat operations.
And during the course of your combat operations, did you have occasion to operate various weaponry systems?
Yes. Basically, I was a machine infantry machine gunner, so I was qualified in all the heavy machine gun systems, as well as all the firearms coordinating to Marine Corps infantry.
And what was your rank at discharge?
Sergeant.
Now, you indicated you currently work with the Waterbury Fire Department.
Yes.
How long has it been that you've been working with them?
Just over 6 years.
And during the time on the fire department, have you ever had any sort of disciplinary action taken against you?
Yes, sir.
Are you drug tested in connection with your employment?
Yes.
Have you ever had any consequences as a result of a negative, or I should say a positive, drug test?
No. Okay.
Now, you heard the sergeant talk about this incident from April 2018 in the Waterbury, right?
Yes.
Could you tell the board what happened that day?
So, I was dating a girl at the time. We were living together. I caught wind, I'll be honest, I can't remember exactly how I caught wind, but I found out she was cheating on me. That night, I believe I was on my way home from work. I don't remember. There's some things in that night that are still never came back to my memory. However, I did drink. I probably consumed somewhere around 8 beers if I were to could put a number on it. I came home, we argued for quite some time. I got to a point, I was done with it. Now at the time I was on a lot of prescribed medication. I was on Ambien for sleep. I was on gabapentin for my anxiety. The doc's been for nightmares. And I shouldn't have been drinking on that medication in general. It was a lot of medication. That night, I decided I just wanted to go to sleep. No intentions of hurting myself. From what I recall of taking was 4 Ambien. I normally took 2. I was prescribed 1. My doctor at the VA had told me because it wasn't working quite good enough for me for sleep. They told me I could go ahead and take another one if I need to. So, I mean, I guess technically what I've been taking, I was taking double my dosage, took double my doses that night. As far as gabapentin, I did not take, I know for a fact, I did not take more than prescribed of that I know of. However, I was currently on gabapentin as my daily medication. Basically, I went to sleep. She woke me up sometime afterwards, knowing the effects of Ambien when you're awakened from Ambien and hallucinations and not knowing what's going on. I guess from there, altercation went on. 911 was called. Police department came out. I willingly went to the hospital. I remember very little bit from there. I was there. I went to sleep. I believe they gave me medication to go to sleep. I went to sleep, woke up, 7 hours later. My mother came there. The psychiatrist came in and did an evaluation. And I left by, I believe, 11 o'clock in the morning. So I spent 9 hours there and I was cleared of all suicidal, homicidal. And to be honest with you, there has been never a time in my life, even through my hardest times, where I've ever felt homicidal or suicidal. I believe that night was due to substance abuse. I was on a lot of medication. I probably should not have been on all that medication, but that's what was prescribed to me. I could have said anything in that state of mind at that point. And that was the last I've heard of it until I submitted with Torrington, and that came back with a note in Waterbury. Waterbury, I don't know if you permit the whole thing, permit in Waterbury. So Waterbury, I had an active pistol permit application in with Waterbury during that time. A couple days after that incident, I received my approval letter. It was, and it said, you know, you have 60 days from the above date on the application to go and obtain your temporary permit. The letter from Waterbury said 60 days, the date of notice, they left me at 2 days, so I never even went to try and get it. So I don't even know if the note was in the system at that point in time, but they did sit on my letter for almost the whole 60 days. So I had an approval in already. I looked up and down for that letter. I cannot find it anywhere. I mean, this was quite some time ago, and I just never went into it again until my wife and I went to Torrington a little over two years ago. That was the whole gist of the night.
Okay. Any of the, well, let me back up. All the medications that you referenced, those were all prescribed to you at the time?
Yes.
What medications of those, strike that, what medications are you presently taking now, if any?
None.
Okay. And your wife that's seated here at the table with us, she is not the person that was involved in the incident, is that correct?
Okay.
Now, are you currently treating with any mental health providers?
Yes.
Who is that?
Dr. John Miner, VA psychiatrist. I see him, well, it's virtual now. Ever since COVID, it went virtual. I talk to him once a month. I've had him for 3 years, but I have been receiving mental health treatment regularly since 2005 when I got home from Iraq.
And what is the reason for that?
So I had a diagnosis of PTSD from Iraq. I started seeking treatment before I even got off my first stint of active duty. Everything went well with it. I mean, my biggest issues that I had, especially during this time, it took me quite some time to adjust back into civilian life after the military. I had lots of things that just didn't work out for me. I joined the military at 21 years old. I was used to, for instance, they do everything for you. They make sure you go to dentist appointments every 6 months. So me coming out of the military, I didn't even know how to live in this life. I didn't know what to do, which direction to go, how to go about it, and I struggled. I struggled for quite some years with all this. Even the girl I was with that day, I think I ended up with her just because it felt right at the time. And obviously it wasn't. And since then, ever since that whole incident happened, I stopped medication. I actually stopped it myself, and I had to go back to put out one to wean off of it. And since then, I haven't been on meds. I'm terrified to take meds. That's about it. I met my wife 5 years ago, and obviously we made it off pretty good, and we're living life. We bought a house in Torrington 3 years ago. I got the job of my dreams. I have no issues. I have technically 6 great kids. That's about it.
And since that night back in 2018, have you had any further episodes where anything remotely happening like that?
No.
And Dr. Miner is at the VA. Is that the VA in West Haven?
Yes.
And that's the psychiatrist that's provided you with the letter?
Correct.
That we submitted to the board?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Anything else?
Cross-examined.
Yeah. You stated that at no time in your recollection that incident you were suicidal, and that was not
correct.
An attempt, it was not any of that. You say that that's exactly what you say it was.
Yes, sir.
It's documented both in the Waterbury Police Department and also in the medical records provided by your attorney that it says the patient admits that he is feeling depressed and suicidal at this time, which
right.
is while you were hospitalized.
Right. Correct.
So I just have to ask, which one is it?
So as I did state, I was under a lot of substance abuse, and I could have said anything that night. I'm not denying that I didn't say it by any means.
I was just looking for clarification.
Right, I'm not denying that I did it, that I didn't say it. I mean, I very well may have. If they haven't, I probably did. However, that's not me. That's not, I have too much to live for in this life, and I've seen that firsthand with lots of friends, so that's not me.
You said that you were under a lot of substance abuse. Was there any other substances being abused besides alcohol?
I wasn't under a lot of substance abuse. I was under prescribed medication that night, which turned into, on top of the alcohol and the medications, turned into a really bad night.
Okay. Based on Waterbury's report, you know, they stated that the gabapentin, which you said you didn't take that night, was placed right next to your wallet, next to everything else that was there, along
right,
with the Ambien.
Right.
Everything was all in the same location. The, again, it's based documented on the report. I wasn't
yep.
there to, and we can't interview that other female. She also stated that is where they observed, she observed you take a handful of pills and ingest them, but you're saying you didn't actually do that.
Right. The gabapentin, it's, again, I don't remember every bit of it, but that very well could have been just, I finished up my prescription, not to mention if I took a handful of gabapentin and Ambien, I probably wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Well,
they probably would have had to pump my stomach or something at the hospital.
I can't speak to what they would have had to do there. To counter that, the police officer in Waterbury documented that there was approximately half a bottle of gabapentin still remaining in the pill bottle.
Okay.
So at that point, it couldn't have been just the end of your prescription.
Right. I thought I read in there empty bottle in the report. That's what I thought I read. I was going off of that because
okay.
I'm the one that provided.
So are you speaking to what actually occurred or what you actually remember, or are you speaking to what you think happened?
I'm speaking to as the best of my knowledge.
Okay.
And the gabapentin, it would have been good to know if they looked at the issuing date of that, because if I did have a half a bottle left, it doesn't mean that I took half of it.
Of course, no. I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I didn't mean that to sound as if I was saying or suggested that you took
okay.
half a bottle.
Yes.
I was referring to your previous statement just now that said I could have just been finishing off what was left in my
right.
prescription.
Right. I thought I remember
that there
seeing,
was half a bottle.
Right.
That's
my fault. I thought
to.
I remember reading in there that it said half a bottle. Again, that night there's lots of bits and pieces of that night that are blank from my memory. Obviously.
Which. Sorry, I didn't
No, that's okay. That. I mean, that's, so, I mean, it's, we could go off of the medical report. I mean, obviously, that's what they said. So, I mean, outside of that, I mean.
In terms of substance abuse, you say you're not medicated at all anymore?
No,
no
sir.
Prescription medications whatsoever?
No.
What about your alcohol usage at this time?
Just social. I'm not a heavy alcoholic, not a heavy drinker. It's usually, I mean, we don't really go out much anymore, so, but I mean, if we go out to dinner, say, we'll have a drink. Occasionally at home, I'll have a drink on a weekend or something, or if it's my off day and I got nothing going on, but nothing out of hand.
You'd say you were a heavier drinker at that time when
I would say
this
so.
Incident?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Other questions?
Yeah. Questions by the board? Dr. Conger.
Not so much questions, but just some clarification just to see if I read the records accurately. It looks like, and I'm referring to the 2018
yes.
incident, obviously, it looks like you became disinhibited in the emergency room with the combination of the medications you were on plus the alcohol, because you did try to elope, and the emergency room's security brought
yes.
you back in. You were given haloperidol, which is a medication used to treat agitation. It successfully sedated you for the period of time you were there. I would just add, please don't be afraid of psychiatric medications. The trouble you got into was the alcohol on top of those medications.
Yes.
That made it a dangerous combination. Should you ever feel the need to reconsult with your psychiatrist around pharmacotherapy.
Yes.
I just want to make mention of the application itself. I was impressed with it because you had very strong supporting letters from men that you served with in the military as well as others. And I do want to commend you for obtaining the full emergency room record. That was very important. Many people just send us the discharge form, which says nothing except that you were in the discharge, you were discharged from the hospital and some recommendations. And I also want to emphasize the very well-written and supporting letter from your treating psychiatrist, who very importantly, and we don't always get this from the mental health professionals, indicated that he was writing the letter with full knowledge that you were seeking a pistol permit, and went on to indicate that you have adhered with the treatment. You've not missed any appointments, you're clinically stable, you have never, in his course of treatment with you, experienced any suicidal or homicidal thoughts or behavior, or exhibited any incidents of potential for violence. Is that correct,
yes,
your
ma'am.
Reading of those records?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Chief.
When was the last time you had any alcohol?
We went out to dinner for sushi last week, and I had one drink while we went out for sushi, as my wife.
How about the time before that? No, let him answer.
Jesus, try and put an exact day on it. I can't. It would have been probably a few weeks ago I had a drink.
When was the last time you were drunk?
Last time I was drunk was probably at my Marine Corps reunion in June.
Okay. So June of
2024.
Recently. And how about prior to that? When was the last time you were drunk?
Maybe more towards the beginning of the year.
One thing you said you were not a heavy alcoholic anymore.
Right.
Those are the words you used.
Yes, sir.
So are you an alcoholic, just a lighter alcohol? What does that mean?
No, I mean, I didn't mean to call myself an alcoholic, but what I meant was I don't drink as much as I did during that time frame. I was having a hard, I resorted at the point sometimes to alcohol when, you know, with my adjustment back into civilian life. But life has panned out, thankfully, really safe for me, and it's kind of one of those things that it's not something to rely on or.
It seems that alcohol mixed with the drugs you were prescribed caused an issue here. Now you're still drinking alcohol. What if your psychiatrist decides you need something or prescribe something to you in the future?
Then I would put the alcohol down. I don't.
Could you do that? Quit alcohol completely?
Absolutely. I've done it before. I've stopped, I've gone a few months, well, more than a few months, but months without touching it at all and not having a need for it. I really don't have a need for it. It's literally a social thing. As adults, my wife and I, we go grab something to eat
The hospital records you provided, which we thank you for, I mean, as the doc said, that's very unusual to get those details, make it pretty clear that you were expressing suicidal thoughts while you
yes.
were at the hospital.
That's correct.
You know, yep. And I know you said you're not suicidal, but you certainly convinced them you were. Right?
Yeah.
That's the way.
It's in there, so.
That's the way I read. And then you fought with them enough to have to be pharmaceutically restrained, in addition to physical restraints, I would imagine, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But the letter from your treating psychiatrist, it ends with, in my medical opinion, the appellant, your name,
yes.
does not pose a significantly increased risk to himself or others.
Right.
When I read that, it's, okay, you're not significant, but there is a risk. It's not, there's no risk, or normal risk, there's an elevated risk, but it's not significant. So it's a...
I can see that.
Yeah, I don't read it that way.
Okay, but I do. And it seems like a qualifier to cover the psychiatrist to me.
Well, we don't have crystal balls, so we can't read the future, but the content of the letter really lays out, I think, a case for substantial stability and lack of risk. But I had...
Excuse me, yeah. No, go ahead, I guess.
I just wanted you to finish because I have two follow-up questions that just popped into my
head. No, that was it. I mean, I know the doc was very impressed with the letter. That last line was less impressive to me. It seemed like a qualifier, but I don't know.
I just wanted to inquire a little bit more about the drug testing through the Torrington Fire Department. Are the tests random?
Yes, they are.
What do they test for?
They test for, we get breathalyzed.
For alcohol?
Correct. Mm-hmm. They test, I can't tell you the whole entire panel, but they, because I don't know exactly, but they
kind
test
of a full
for
substance
yeah, it's a full substance panel. Because even with marijuana, we're not allowed to, even though it's, you know, legally, we're not allowed to even use marijuana. Mm-hmm. That'll be a firing.
Yeah, so that would stay in your system for a long time, so
correct.
It would show up.
Yes, ma'am. And
thank you.
And it's very random testing. Mm-hmm. You go in 1 week for a test and you go back in 2 weeks later. Or you go in for a test and not have another test for a year later. So it's
so you don't know when they're going to call you in.
Never. You find out when you get into work in the morning.
When was the last time that you were randomly tested,
approximately? I was tested, I believe it was the beginning of this year. It might have been February. It was before we went on vacation in the summer, but I think it was right around there. Oh, no, actually. No, recently, very recently. Maybe 3 months ago, 3-4 months ago.
And do they tell you the results?
No, they never do.
If you had results, I guess they would tell you.
If you had a result, then you would know very fast. Yeah.
Okay. And then I just wanted to say thank you for your service in the military, and also thank you for being a firefighter.
I'd like to second that.
Yep. Thank you, sir. Thank
you. Just one quick follow-up. So your infraction of 2,000?
Yes.
I didn't write you that ticket, did I? Because I was up that area there.
In 2000?
By Deep Environmental Conservation Police.
Yeah.
I didn't
write
that ticket, did I?
I honestly...
No, because I was a supervisor up there at that time. I don't recognize you, but I just
honestly don't even remember
sure.
it. And,
okay.
I told the attorney, I said...
Sounds like a reservoir.
I think I said that to you, too, because me and my friends used to go skiing, fishing in the reservoir, so we probably got caught in the ticket. I don't remember, though.
I just saw it, and I just wanted to make sure I wasn't the one that wrote you the ticket. That's all.
Do you have any other witnesses?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to call the appellant's wife, who I wasn't here, and I apologize. Was she sworn already?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So, ma'am, you heard what your husband said in terms of how long you've been together. Any dispute to that, or do you agree?
I agree.
Okay, and you live with him, I take it?
Yes.
Do you have any concerns if he were to be granted a pistol permit with respect to your safety, safety around you, your children, his children, anything like that?
Not at all.
No. Okay. I have nothing else. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Cross. Questions by the board?
I guess I kind of have a question for the doc, a medical question. The mixture of those drugs and alcohol, could that cause the behavior that he
yes, that's why I said he was disinhibited by those drugs. And so when you're in that kind of a state, you have an altered mental status and you...
But would you jump to suicidal, you know?
Yeah, anything could come out of your mouth. I mean, he was under duress with the incident with the girlfriend. And my read of all of that was that it was situationally induced and that his clinical presentation was caused by the combination of alcohol. You had a alcohol blood level in the ED of something like 160, which means it was much, much higher earlier in that evening, as you were admitted to the ED at 1:41 a.m. and discharged at 11:02 a.m. that same day. So my read of that was he was in an altered mental state, disinhibited by the alcohol in combination with his prescribed medications and any extra doses that he took. You're fortunate that you didn't take a lot more of the Ambien, because it's really the Ambien and the alcohol that could have put you to sleep forever.
Yes, ma'am.
That's why I'm
scared of that stuff.
Okay, closing statement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To Dr. Conrad's point, I'm no professional, but I would disagree with the chief in that interpretation, because certainly I think probably the board recognizes it is somewhat rare, at least in my experience, to even have a mental health professional willing to even reference that at all. Because Lord knows I've been here a couple of times, and God knows I tried to have that in the letter, if the therapist or psychiatrist or what have you felt comfortable with it, obviously. This gentleman said, no, there's no problem, in my opinion. So I was surprised, but happily so, that we got that. And in addition to that, my client, the appellant, he also has tried to be very transparent throughout this entire process, to the point that when we were going through the medical records, it was actually him that said, no, I want them to have the whole picture, which is why we submitted the entire medical chart from that night, not just the discharge summary, because as Dr. Conrad indicated, usually, you know, take two aspirin and follow up with your primary or something to that effect. So that was part of the reason for that. And in addition, the one thing that I would note is that this was really a one-time hiccup from a combat veteran that frankly has probably seen things that most of us never have, nor would we want to. And certainly not excusing his conduct that night, but he has undoubtedly dealt with things continuing to this day as a firefighter that caused him immense stress, and he has learned to cope with that without resorting to what he did that night. So I don't think that that one occurrence is the measure of the man, and I would ask the board to grant the permit.
Thank you. Closing statement.
I second the board and even the attorney's take on how commendable your service is. Everything your agency and my agency work basically, or not necessarily, yeah, us, but you know what I'm saying. We work hand in hand all the time. And this was actually a very difficult hearing for me to even come to, knowing all of your history. The concerning parts that I have, Chief, I appreciate your take on that. It's the same view that I had when I read that letter from the psychiatrist. That last line did concern me. While I understand that this is a one-time incident that we have documented, the reason for our denial was based on the fact that we had that documented within the last 5 years. To coincide with the stresses of your job, the service, everything, and your psychiatrist being also still saying there's still risk, those are all the factors that make us concerned as something happening again, whether it's from a stressor, whether it's from something else. And that's where our denial is.
Okay. Comments by the board?
I just want to take a peek at the letter again, and my colleague is fishing for it.
It's easier.
Oh, it is.
I know it's quite a pile of paper. Yeah.
Thank you guys.
It took me 5 minutes to find it, too.
I stick with my perspective. I think this is a doctor who felt he knew his patient well. The second paragraph really indicates that, and he lays out the data that support an absence of risk. And the significantly increased risk to himself or others, I interpret that to mean not significantly above, but I might be potentially able to, or anyone else here. I just think that that's what he meant by that statement, that there's not a significantly increased risk. That's to recognize that the appellant does have PTSD, but that it's well controlled and that he is compliant with treatment and stays in treatment with the physician.
Any other comments?
I just, the appellant, you know, served honorably in the Marine Corps for 8 years, currently a fireman, just gets tested every, you know, for 6 years. I look at this as a one-off, completely, one, you know, incident. The letter from the attending psychiatrist is very important to me personally, for him not only to supply it, it's very specific to the board, like your attorney said, that's very rare, and all the documentation provided, so that's sort of going to be the basis of my vote.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, Dr. Conrad?
For the appellant.
Mr. Gray?
Appellant.
Colonel Overtur?
Appellant.
Chief Rosenzweig?
Appellant.
And I vote for the appellant. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Good